Okay, Bafala from Midbeis the Mishnah. The Yabalei Susim. Okay, Chavala from Midbeis the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Le'abalei Susim, the Torah says about a king, you're not allowed to have a lot of horses. So the Mishnah says, how many horses are you allowed to have? El-Kadema Kafti. Only for the amount of chariots that he needs for the war. In other words, when he fights, he needs armies, so he needs X amount of horses. And the money, the gold and silver, you shouldn't have a lot. Only to pay the wages of the soldiers. Because you don't pay them, they don't fight. So you're going to need money to pay the soldiers, and that's all the extra money that he's allowed to have. And then the Mishnah says, the case of the Sefer Torah Lishmei, he has to write a Sefer Torah for himself. What do you mean, has to write a Sefer Torah for... Right. He has to write a Sefer Torah for himself. In addition, the Mishnah is going to say whatever Jew is mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah. Mechal, just mention like this. There's a din in the Torah. Everybody had, in fact, it's called the last mitzvah, the 613th mitzvah, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah every Yid is mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah. So the Rishonim write, like the Rosh and others, write, how are you mekayim the mitzvah today? Because the whole purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is in order to learn it. That's what it says. L'lamdas b'nei Yisrael. So therefore, the Rosh writes, because nowadays we don't learn from a Sefer Torah, we learn from Chumash and Sfarim. So therefore, the mitzvah today implies that everybody has to buy Sfarim. That's how you can come to mitzvah. But one second. But in addition to the regular Sefer Torah that the king has, as every Yid has, the king has to write an additional Sefer Torah. For because he's a king.
Just having this
forum,
is it not even
open? No, it says then you could just buy covers. Then you don't need the books, it's cheaper. No, the purpose is to learn.
Sefarim or Sefer Torah you have to, meaning that a chumash you have to buy?
No, Sefarim to learn. The purpose is to learn, you need to buy Sefarim to learn.
Oh, because it's...
Or, the Rebbe once spoke of Sicha L'Cheru, why do we find big tzaddikim? We're not mekayim the mitzvah kipshuta of writing a Sefer Torah. Find many great tzaddikim didn't write a Sefer Torah. So the Rebbe explained, when there's a Sefer Torah of a tzibur, a communal Sefer Torah, and you buy a letter, it's halachically considered as if you wrote the whole Sefer Torah also. Okay, but let's go back to it. So anyway, the king has to write an additional Sefer Torah, in addition to what he has for like everybody else. What does he do with the Sefer Torah? Yaitel mechama, he goes out with it to war. Meitziyema, when he goes out to war, he takes the Sefer Torah with him. Nichnas, when he comes back from war, Nimachnis, Ime, brings it back. Yeshe Bedin, when the king sits in judgment, he Ime, the Sefer Torah is with him. And the Mephashim will ask a very simple question. We learned before in the Mishnah that a king is not allowed to judge. Leidon v'leidon in Isaac. So how can the Mishnah over here say that when the king judges, he has Sefer Torah is with him? L'cheiru, we learned in the Mishnah before that you don't. So the answer that it's Bikam Adini Mominis. This that the Mishnah said before, that a king is not allowed to don v'leidon and oisei is only din in nefashis, capital punishment cases. But regular cases, momentous monetary civil cases, a king is allowed to judge. So the Mishnah says, when the king sits in judgment in the din teira momentous, the Sefer Torah is with him.
It's considered a mumcha then.
Yes. Meisev, when he reclines to eat, yeah, he connected the Sefer Torah's opposite him. Obviously, he can't hold it. He's eating. Shinema, because it says in the Pasuk, Vahoyse, he made the Sefer Torah, additional Sefer Torah, the king writes, should be Kodeh Kol Yimei Chayav. He should read it all the days of his, Vahoyse, he should be with him, the Kodeh Bei Kol Yimei Chayav. So from that, the Gemara learns out, that the Mishnah learns out, that whenever, wherever he is, in, out, eating, sleep, whatever it is, the Sefer Torah is with him.
Within his eye.
Well, so, yeah.
Was the Sefer Torah like a miniature Sefer Torah that ties it to the
We'll
heart?
Learn later in the Gemara about that. There was a small Sefer Torah that used to write that they tied certain things, not the king necessarily, that they tied it to his hand. Yeah.
That's the only way you could do everything.
No, you can have a miniature Sefer Torah like this.
And just hold it with you while you're eating?
And go. No, but eating is opposite him. Okay, tell the Rabbanan Lent. The Yabalei Susim. The Torah says you're not allowed to have a lot of horses. So the Mishnah defined that he's allowed to have for the war, you know, how many chariots he needs. 21 B2. How many for the horse? But the Gemara is coming to conclude. How do we know that? Maybe Leyabalisusim, period. Maybe he can't have a lot of horses anyway. Gemara says, Yachal afil kadei mekafti b'rochev. I would think that he can't have even enough horses for his army. Talmud Leimer, it says, Loy. Leyabalisusim. Meaning for his personal needs, not. The Torah could have said, Leyabalisusim. What do you mean, Loisusim? He can't have a lot of horses. Meaning for his personal needs, he's not allowed to have a lot of horses. But for the government, he's allowed to have.
Isn't the purpose that it doesn't go back to Mitzrayim to get the horses?
We'll soon see.
So then why?
We're not done. We just started. Relax. It says like this. Tamalei malei lei ein amar b'avam marbu kadei richbe ferashuv. So then, why does he say leyamarbali susim? Okay. Why does it say horses? Susim abatlonim means idle horses, just for a collection. Now the king, a king can't have a horse collection. What? Yeah. So then it says, "Minayin afilu susachud v'ubatul." How do we know that it's forbidden even? It says susim plural. How do I know even one extra horse, which is sus, not susim? How do we know it's also forbidden? Laman sus. You shouldn't have a lot of horse. So therefore, even one extra horse is forbidden for a king to have. Only what he must have mamish for the. Yeah. For the army.
How about the car?
A car? Yeah. Only Rolls Royces. So if it says, even one horse you're not allowed to have, so susim lamali, so why does it say plural? If even one horse you're not allowed to have, so why does it say lo yarbali susim horses, if one horse is also forbidden? Well, it says interestingly, every horse that he has is another Aveda. If he has 10 horses extra, it's 10 Avedas.
He can have only one horse?
Not even, no, he can have for the army. No, what he
personal.
Needs. Personal, not even, what idle horse?
If he run, I mean, he uses it to get around, he cannot have it.
Idle. You know what idle means? For nothing.
Enough.
He could have 10 of them, and he used one every day, or seven.
No, because then the other days that horse is idle.
How many is permitted for drinking?
It doesn't say. It depends on the army. There's no amount.
For king himself.
Just what he must have.
One, two.
Huh?
One. He only needs one. He can't have only one.
Okay.
One Rolls Royce. That's it.
That's it. So then it says. Time it costs for Rachman Eloy. So the Gemara says not like this. The reason why it's forbidden for him to have a horse because it says Liyabeloy Susim, right? Olav Hachi, but without that Havamina Filuk Deirich Beifroshiv Namiloy, I would think that he can't even have enough horses for his army. The Gemara says, but if you don't have an army, what you're not going to get respect. You're not going to be a superpower. The Gemara says Sichel Afushi. It means. That for a surplus for the army he could have. In other words, Layaba Loisusim, he can't have a surplus only for himself. But the Gemara says an interesting thing. For the army, he could have a surplus. It's just personal horses a king is not allowed to have. Then it says, the chesiv is of Layabala, he can't have a lot of gold and silver. So the Gemara says, how much? They lead him Aspanya only to pay the wages for the soldiers. In other words, what he needs for the government, not personal. Tanu Rabban, Rabbanan said. Kesef, it says, again, the Bryce is explaining the same concept. It says, the Kesef is Zohav. Lo Yabila, you can't have a lot of gold and silver. Yochel afil, they lead, so I would think maybe even to pay the army not. Because the Torah doesn't say why. The Torah says you can't have a lot of money. So I would think any amount. So Talmud Lema, it says, Loy. It says, the Kesef Zov Layarba Loy. So again, it's the same thing. Personal money he can't have. Loy ain't a marba. For him personally, he can't add. Ava marba gde lite in Aspan. He can pay for the government. So it says, time at the cost of Loy. Halav hachi, but if it didn't say Loy, I would think he can't even have for an army. What type of king is that? So Loy tzirich alarvachem. Meaning, for the government, he can have a surplus. But not for himself. Bottom line of it is, we're going to see in the Gemara, the bottom line is, the Torah doesn't want the king to be drawn into the gashmistic pleasures of the world. Okay? Because that's going to turn the king's heart away from you, from Hashem. If he has a lot of money, a lot of wives, a lot of the horses, it's going to turn him away. So the Gemara is saying, for the government purposes, to run the world, so to speak, that he's allowed to. But for personal needs, he's not allowed to.
But wasn't that the problem with,
we're going to get into that.
But so if a regular person, some Jew also cannot have it.
We'll see that in the Gemara. But even by the wives, remember a king could have 18, but anybody else could have 1 million. As long as he can support them. One's hard enough to support, you can imagine 1 million.
So a man can, stam man can become rich. I mean,
stam man could become rich, yeah.
Regular Jew.
Yeah.
Can have a
we
lot.
We don't just in Pekiovis.
Based on this, if it's the reason is not to
only
turning away
know,
from
only
Yiddish,
if they know where to write the checks.
If the reason is because not turning away from Yiddish guy, so it's
yeah, but a king is power. There's a king by nature because he's powerful, has more netiya, is more leaning towards power is lack of bittle. Okay, Rabbi Yehud, what?
So that means the king can go to Egypt to get horses for his army, but he can't go to Egypt to get horses for himself?
We'll see that in the Gemara. The Gemara is coming up with this. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Hasha damet loy ludrosha, right? So now that it says loy, is to teach me that he could have for the army. So it says, loyabe loy noshamay drosha bay. So why by women, wives does it say loy? By horses and money it says loy to exclude only personal, but not for the government. So why by wives does the Torah say he cannot have a lot of wives? It should say Layar ben Noshim, period. Why does it say Loy? For him he can't have a lot of wives. So Gemara says that a simpleton, not a king, can have a lot of wives. But the Sefer Shechinah, by the way, providing he can feed her and support her and whatever. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Rav Yud asks a question of a contradiction in Pesukim. One pasuk says, "Vayhi l'shleimar boim elef urei susim l'merkafti." One place it says, "Shleimar Melech had 40,000 lines of stalls of horses." Okay, and another pasuk says, "Vayhi l'shleimar abas alof maroy susim." He had 4,000 stalls of horses. So did he have 40,000 or did he have 4,000? It's a contradiction. They forgot the zero in one of them. Okay, Tzad. So Gemara says, "How l'cher is a contradiction." So he says like this, no. There was 40,000 of one type and 4,000 of another type. Meaning like this. You can learn two ways. Either he had 40,000 stables, and each stable had 4,000 horses, or he had 4,000 stables, and each one had 40,000. The bottom line is, he had 40,000 times 4,000 horses.
Oh, it could be that way.
No.
They didn't have so
had a lot of money.
The population at that time.
They had a lot of horses in those days.
To take care of this horse.
Or a chariot had all six of them.
Am I looking at him the law? It's not really its Are personal use of its...
That's a lot more. Well, Shlomo Melch, you know. 40... No, it's not. The Gemara doesn't say Guzmois. The Gemara says in Heirius that Dibre Teira Lashon Havoi. Sometimes the Torah speaks in exaggerations. And sometimes the Gemara speaks in exaggerations. For instance, the Gemara says that in the Torah it says they saw him when the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, they saw Arum Gedelus Betzuris Vashemayim. They saw fortified with walls up to the sky. Obviously, wasn't up to the sky. Yeah? The Medrash says by Dor HaFloga, when they built the tower, the Medrash says it took them a year to walk up and a year to walk down. That's all. But when the Gemara says that, the Gemara says that when the Torah says that their Bitzur is Bashamayim, you see the Torah is exaggerating. And the Gemara says, by the Gemara you find it much more. For instance, the Gemara says about Shimshon, the bank safe of, between his shoulders, was 60 amas. Shimshon was 90 feet wide. So the Mefarshim, the Mashai, the other Mefarshim learned. B'chlal, this is interesting. The Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, in his introduction to Ein Yaakov, to the stories of the Gemara, he writes in various places that a lot of the stories of the Gemara are exaggerations, but there's a meaning why he picked 60. There's a reason why they picked 60 Amis, or a lot of other Gemaras. It says that the city of Nineveh, also the Gemara says, was unbelievable amount of people. Or, that's in Tanakh, by the way. But even in the Gemara tells a story, they saw a place at 600,000 times 600,000, and who knows. And another Amida says, I saw that place, and it wasn't enough for 60 reeds, for 60 plants. You tell me that. So there are concepts of exaggerations. But when the Gemara speaks about Shlomo HaMelech, the Pashtus, it means...
Of 600,000 Jews, they come from Egypt.
No, that's real.
That's real?
Sure. They counted. 1, 2, 3, 4.
How do you know which one is an exaggeration? Like, how would you know that this is not an exaggeration?
Because there's a rule in Chumash, in Teir, in Tanakh, Ein Mikra Yetzim Lipshutei. It means what it means.
Mikro. This is not Mikro, this is
Gemara. No, the Pasik is Shlomo HaMelech. It's a good Pasik. In Malach.
Oh, 60
Amos? No, no.
Are these the horses?
The horses.
That's more people that lived at that time in Israel.
Huh?
That's more than far humans. More.
It's like on average, every person had 60 horses.
No, sure.
Shlomo HaMelech had, not every person. Okay, Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yitzchok Rami, Rabbi Yitzchok has another contradiction. One pasuk says, "In case the nachshav bimei Shlomo lemuma." There was so much money in Shlomo HaMelech's time, money was worthless. You have too much money, you know, I speak to the financiers. If you have too much money out there, then it becomes worthless. And yet, it says, "Vayitin HaMelech Shlomo as a kesef b'Yerushalayim kavanim." He put the money in Yerushalayim like stones. That means it had value like stones. Stones are also valued.
To him.
Yeah, so he says like Kasha. Kan kedem shenosa shlemez bas parei. Before Shlomo HaMelech married bas parei, then there was no value to silver. I'll explain in a second. Kan la'acha shenosa shlemez bas parei. After Shlomo HaMelech married bas parei, then money did have a value. Why? Because when Shlomo HaMelech married bas parei, she spent a lot of money, so his wealth went down.
She went shopping.
No, that's what the Gemara says, that the money was worth less in Shlomo HaMelech after he married Bas Parei.
Maybe the Beracha is this.
Okay, so he brings on, the Mashal brings on another thing. He said before he married Bas Parei, Shlomo HaMelech was into Ruchnius, into wisdom, and all that. So he wasn't into money too much. So it didn't mean anything. Not, in other words, the Mashal learns the Gemara much differently. The simple pshat of learning the Gemara is, it was so much money, it was worthless. Yeah? And afterwards, his wealth went down, he was in Fortune 500, went down, so he had less money. The Mashal explains it just the opposite. Before he married Bas Parei, what he was into, Ruchnius, wisdom, so money meant nothing to him. After he married Bas Parei, he went down spiritually. Yeah, so therefore, money meant something to him.
Materialist.
Okay, Amar Rabbi Yosef, says, this is a famous Gemara. B'shar she'nasa Shlomo es Bas Parei, when Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Parei, Yare Gavriel, v'noetz kona b'yam. The Malach Gavriel went down and put a reed into the sea, v'hela certain, and slowly... dirt started forming around this reed, but all of Nivna Krach Godul Shabaremi, and Rome was built on it. In other words, what's the pshat over here? Rome was the big enemy of the Jews. They destroyed the second base of Mikdash. I mean, Rome was always the Godul Shabaremi. So Shlomo HaMelech marrying Bas Parei caused the punishment that because of that, Rome was built. And so, but the Gemara says he put a reed into the sea and started collecting dirt around it, and Rome was built on it.
Who put the reed in?
Gabriel, the Malach Gabriel. No. No. Oh, yeah, Gabriel did help Yitzhi Hashem. I think Mishlema was there.
What's the connection of Mitzrayim to Rome?
So it says like this. Why? Because when Baspari came to Shlema Melech, she brought with her the musical instruments of Avodah Zarah. The worst of all the wives of Shlema Melech was Baspari. She brought Avodah Zarah into the
house,
into the palace, into the place. So because she brought the musical, so when he married Baspari, he started Avodah Zarah in the house. So that's why the punishment was for the Jews.
I know. Besides, I'm saying, what's the connection of Mitzrayim to Rome? I mean, why the country of Mitzrayim didn't start becoming great?
She converted. She was a guy of Kalacha.
Oh.
Why one person make a scene and get the called Israel?
Huh?
Why one person makes
Shlomo Melech? Yeah, but he was the king.
So
he was the king.
What is our fault?
What's our fault?
What's your fault that other Marishan sinned?
Really? That's right.
That's not fair. Right. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. No, put the complaint in the circular bin in the back.
It's the women's fault.
The women's fault.
Rabbi, if she converts, how she brought Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, don't you have to accept all the mitzvahs when he converts?
Phony conversion.
It wasn't a real conversion.
No.
No, the Rambam says it was Cleopatra. The Rambam writes it was Geir Kalacha.
Was it Cleopatra? That was the wife.
But eventually she went back. Initially she meant it. And then
she went back.
Well, part of the plan, guy. We said the other way. The Rambam says in the Suri Biyah. The Rambam writes. That how the Chas Hashem to say, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, we learned. Rambam writes in Hilchos Surabiyah, Chas Hashem to say that Shimshin, who Shefet to Sisrol, or Shlema Melech, married Chixis. Rambam writes, Chas Hashem to say that they married Chixis. So Rambam said, what's the story? Because there were certain, like in Shlema Melech's time, it was extremely good begashmis for the Jews. Okay, the Jews were on Ishtachas Gafni, Ishtachas Tenos, the Jews were on top of the world. So a lot of people wanted to be Megayer, for the wrong reasons. So the Beis Din issued a policy statement, the big Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, issued a policy statement that we're not accepting Gedim. Period. That was the official policy. But private Bati Dinim, that would be Megayer people, yeah, the Megayer people, they did accept them. So the Rambam writes that Shlomo Melech's wives and Shimshin, Dalila, and all those other women in Shimshin's life, they were all Megayer Kalachim. Why does he call Noshim Nochrius? Because the end result, by the way, the Zemachleikis, when it says that they turned away Shlomo Melech's heart from Yiddishkeit, says two opinions. One opinion is he Taka turned his heart away, and the other opinion says, no, that they wanted to, but he didn't give in. But the fact that he allowed it to happen, that they wanted to, so the Torah says he turned the heart away. But we learned that Shlomo Melech, last week, or when was it? Shlomo Melech, at the beginning he ruled the world, and then barely Eretz Yisrael, and then barely Yerushalayim, and then barely his own stick. But that's what happened.
Rabbi, was this policy of Chabad not to Megayer people, was that only with the seventh Rebbe, or was it...
Policy of Chabad not to Megayer people, it's not true.
The Chabad doesn't convert people themselves.
In California we don't, because the Rebbe told us not to.
Oh, only in California.
There's a lot of Chabad Rabbanim that do Gaitis.
Why?
My father did Gaitis.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. A lot of people did Gaitis. Before I came here, the Rebbe said he didn't want the Chabad guys in California doing Gaitis.
Why? What's the reason in California?
Thank God. Next, and I go back to
the reason, Rob.
Why?
That they were not, they wouldn't be real because they are for the wrong reason.
It wouldn't be good.
Materialist.
It wouldn't be good for the Jews. Let's leave it at that. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, why does the Torah not say the reasons for many halachas? The Torah says, don't eat meat and milk. Don't wear shatness. Yeah, there's reasons. Obviously, Hashem has a reason. Why didn't Hashem say the reason for a lot of mitzvahs? So the Gemara says like this. because there are two mitzvahs about a king. Okay? That the Torah says the reason that they should, you know, because the Shlomo HaMelech, for instance, he shouldn't have a lot of horses, he shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim, he shouldn't have a lot of wives, that he shouldn't be turned away, right? So, Shlomo HaMelech sinned because he misinterpreted the reasons. Because the Torah says you can't have a lot of wives because they're going to turn you away from Hashem. So, it says the reason. So, Shlomo HaMelech said the reason doesn't apply to me. It says, Lo Yabalei Susim. The man said he shouldn't return the people to Egypt because the best horses were in Egypt. So the Torah says you're not allowed to have a lot of horses because you shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim. So Shlomo, we'll see in the Gemara. I was going to explain. Shlomo HaMelech said the Torah only forbids going back the same way. We'll see in a second. So it says Amar Yitzchak. Why were the reasons of the Torah not revealed for all the mitzvahs? Because Shtei Mikrois Nizgalu Taimon, two mitzvahs. The Torah says the reason Nichshubem Gadol Elam, the great person, meaning Shlomo HaMelech sin. Why? Because it says LeYarbo LeNoshim. It says don't have wives, and the Torah says the reason because he shouldn't turn away from Hashem. Amar Shleimei Arba VeLeYosu. I'll have a lot of wives, and I won't turn away from Yiddishkeit. When Shlomo HaMelech got older, by the way, he died at 54, so it wasn't that much older. And his wives swayed his heart against Yiddishkeit. Okay? So he was led astray. Another thing it says, it says, why you shouldn't bring the people back to Mitzrayim? I'm going to have a lot of horses and I won't bring them back. Why? So he gathered, he says, because he gathered much more than he was supposed to. It says, the chariot left Egypt worth 600 silver coins. Meaning that Egypt was the source of it, and because he bought the horses from Mitzrayim and he wasn't allowed to. Okay? So that's the bottom line. So it says, that's why it says in the Torah, one second, that's why it says, Hashem's not saying the reason for mitzvahs. In fact, there's another interesting Gemara also. The Gemara in Shabbos says, you're not allowed to read by a kerosene light. In the second paragraph of Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to read by a kerosene light because you're going to make the fire bigger. You might make the fire bigger. So it says that Rabbi Shmuel said, no, I will, it doesn't apply to me. I'm careful. The Gemara says he read by a kerosene light, and there's two opinions in the Gemara. One is that he taka made the fire bigger on Shabbos, and one is says he was about to when he caught himself. And he said, when the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be built, he's going to bring a big fat sin offering for what he did. Why? Because when the Chachamim say something, there's no exceptions to the rule. So the Torah says these two mitzvahs. Yeah, the Torah says these two mitzvahs. And the Torah gave the reason. Shlomo HaMelech said the reasons don't apply to me. So therefore, the Gemara says this is the reason why Hashem didn't give reasons for a lot of mitzvahs.
But we have them. For
a lot, I said for a lot of, for chukim. What?
He got the horses for his army.
No, he had surplus for personal.
Yeah. 1,600,000 horses
for himself.
Personal horses he got from his from Mitzrayim. So they're the best horses.
You need to have the money to.
Why did he need them? I mean, I'm just saying he was just like collecting them.
Yeah, like cars.
No, it's not for you.
It's a car collection.
Had a horse every hour on the hour when he went somewhere. I don't know why.
It's like people have a lot of
Eagle.
Cars.
Yeah, why do people collect cars?
We don't use them.
Why do people? Okay, there's a story.
Yeah.
What's a status symbol?
They have warehouse. I know why. They have like a warehouse. And
but
the cars
was a symbol of power. The other countries. Look, Israel has, the king has so much power.
You're right, but that's what, that was his army was supposed to have that. That we learned before in the Gemara. The Gemara said,
he didn't need it.
For the army, it doesn't matter. He can have a lot because it's a sign of power.
Yeah.
But not for personal.
Yeah, but the other country, other kings, when they look at King Solomon to have all these horse personal,
It's not Ruchnius. When they see the king and the country is the same thing. A dictator or a king, him and the country speak the Saddam Hussein, all these, it's me and the country, it's the same thing.
If Hashem had given the reasons pshat, there wouldn't have been any...
What?
Transgression, no, to the country.
There wouldn't have been any reform, or there wouldn't have been any other country.
Actually, this is a good example that there would
be. What's Haksa China?
He's saying
clear cut. Nobody would interpret it their own way.
Jews interpret it.
If he gives them the reason, then they can also.
That's it.
He's saying that Hilchot Shabbos. Why everything is not clear on the Chumash?
It is clear. Don't do Malacha.
Okay, we don't make sure.
He expects Chumash to be as long as Shas and Paskim together. What do you want? Chumash to be as long, the Torah should accept Torah Shabbat Peh. There has to be Mashpia, there has to be Mekabel, there has to be all these levels. In other words, what you're telling is like this. The reform tiny, you don't have to keep kosher because it's a health issue. But if the Torah says the reason for kashrus is whatever, so they will, they'll reform it anyway.
That's right.
Clear, closed,
like
done.
You just have two examples.
Let me ask you a question. The Torah says, you're not allowed to make a fire. When you drive a car, according to all opinions, whether electricity is fire or not, is a machlekes in poskim. Okay? Whether it's baina, electricity is a big machlekes in contemporary poskim, what the purpose, why? Everybody says it's also, the question is why. But cars, everybody says you're making sparks.
4,000 in every minute.
No, 4,000 a minute if you have a four-cylinder. If you have a six-cylinder, 6,000, 8,000, right? That's what it says in the books. Okay, anyway. Not in the mechanic books, in the halacha books. Okay, now. But yet, they'll tie it to go to shul, you're allowed to drive. The conservative, I'm saying, reform machal says you could drive.
But if Hashem says...
But it says the reason, like, don't make a fire. And they're making a fire. You can't say the reason doesn't apply. Say the reason is anyway, yeah, but the exception is to go to show. And to go home and to go to the beach, or go to the movies.
At the time the law was given, there were no cars.
Yeah, that's what I hear it all the time.
But the Torah says leisvadu eish. It's not even minat. It's not even midrabanan. It's clear in the pasuk he can make a fire.
No, I mean that here.
Yeah, but
it's not pshat. It is pshat.
Well, a good example is the cigarette. They say it's not good for your health, and people still smoke. But if you say God says don't smoke, you don't rationalize. Cigarette people say, well, you know what? I know it's not good for me, but I smoke.
Maybe if the Torah says don't smoke, it means on Shabbos. Maybe it means three packs a day, but
no,
one pack a day is good. How do you know?
Yeah.
If you want to rationalize, you can rationalize whatever you want. And that's in fact Shlomo Melech rationalized. But again, we have to understand, let's take this in proper perspective. Shlomo HaMelech was a tzaddik gomor. These are all sins on his level. You have to understand that. Shlomo HaMelech was not a rasha. Shlomo HaMelech was Shlomo HaMelech. He built the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech was the king. Okay? Shlomo HaMelech Adayim is Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? On his level, he sinned. It's not on our coarse, grubber, mundane level of sin. We need to understand, Shlomo HaMelech was a holy man. Even when he died, he was a holy man.
He didn't do Avodah Zarah?
No.
He didn't go crazy?
No. Not on the level that we learn that it's a simple level where you say you're nuts. Or a person worships Avodah Zarah. On Shlomo HaMelech's level, it was Avodah Zarah. Understand? On Shlomo HaMelech's level, the equivalent Avodah Zarah doesn't say Avodah Salilim. Most of the time, the expression is in Chazal, Avodah Zarah. Zarah means foreign. Right? If in the middle of davening, Shemoneh Esrei, you're thinking a Rambam, that's Machshav Zarah. It's a foreign thought. Halavai, that should be a problem. But thinking Rambam, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, is a Machshav Zarah. It's a foreign thought. It doesn't belong there. Is it an evil thought? It's not an evil thought. It's a foreign thought. And therefore it's bad. Because when you're davening, you're supposed to be thinking Rambam. You're supposed to be thinking Shemoneh Esrei.
Saying Tehillim?
Whatever. The point is, no, the point is that on Shlomo HaMelech's level, he did Aveda Zara. But not Chas V'Shalom. Yeah, I mean, come on, we're talking about tzaddikim over here. We're talking about yukos like us. Yeah, I mean, we need to understand that. The Gemara in Shabbos says, you know, you take David and Batsheva, yeah? Everybody, they made the movies, everybody, you know, the way David and Malach was immoral. What?
I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see the movie? I didn't either. But I heard so much about it from people that I taught.
There was a movie?
I don't know, I didn't see it.
There must have been a movie.
We're going to see it tonight.
Go to YouTube. Okay, anyway. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kolem David HaMelech Chata in Elatoya. Okay, you're talking about David HaMelech had no Yetzirah. You understand? Libi Chol B'Kirbi. That was the initial state of David HaMelech. Afterwards, David HaMelech, it says, reached the level Matzasas Levavi. Okay, because David HaMelech, Libi Chol B'Kirbi is a Tzadik Shein Gomer, like we learned yesterday in Tanya, right? Tzadik Gomer, David HaMelech definitely was a Tzadik Gomer. There's no question about it. You think he had a Yetzirah because he saw a woman? You're talking about spiritual people that we need to understand, and that's the problem. People think David HaMelech is a regular human being like you and me, and Shlomo HaMelech is a regular human being like you and me, and all these people are yukos like you and me.
But why does the Gemara say with such ambiguity that it leads most people to think that about David HaMelech this way and Shlomo HaMelech? You're right, once you learn all of Shas and you learn all the different opinions, yeah, then you realize he's good, but when you're just reading the story, it
why does David to write in Chumash Nasa Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmaseinu instead of Es Adam? And Meshach Rabbeinu said to Hashem,
right.
Hey, what are you doing? Hashem said, Ksev, Reita Litis Yit. Write it. And I want in Torah people to be able to make a mistake. Hashem has a lot of good sense of humor. Hashem says, I want people to be able to make a mistake.
Where does it say that?
What? Ksev Reita Litis Yita? It's a Gemara. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. I thought you said in the Chumash you're saying.
Yeah, it says Nasa Adam. So Meshach Rabbeinu said, how can you say Nas? In fact, when they, for Talmai HaMelech, when they translated the ten changes, mm-hmm. They made Es Adam. Yeah? So how can you say Nas Adam, let us make man? Yeah? So Meshach said, Eibishter, what are you doing? People are going to think there's two gods. So he says, Ksev, right, as I'm telling you. Whoever wants to make a mistake, let him make a mistake. Torah does that. God has a great sense of humor. God says, I'm giving you something you can misinterpret. I give you opportunity to sin.
So why?
Because then, if we don't have the opportunity to sin, good is worthless.
You also have fun.
God is a great sense of humor.
If you do this plan, you shouldn't. Don't punish.
You want to be an angel
don't
robot?
Punish it. No, don't punish it. If you do it for the
no, we're punished fun. For the free choice that we chose to do bad.
Which put the trap, you catch it.
But we're preempted to make a mistake.
Make a barbecue?
I like that one.
Could you translate that?
In what language? Okay.
I only had the barbecue.
Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Case of Sefer Torah Lishma. He has to write a Sefer Torah for himself, okay? So Tana, it says, Uvachli, he's Gobishal Avesa. He can't adorn himself with his father's meaning. Even if his father left him a Sefer Torah, he still needs to write his own. Now, even if his father was a king, and his father left him over as a king, a Sefer Torah be Yerusha, he still has to write his own. And then it says, Amar Ava, Rava says, not only to a king, but by everybody. Even though a father leaves a sefer Torah over for his kids, mitzvah lichtiv mishalei has to write his own sefer Torah. Why? It says va'ata kisu lachem es hashira azeis. You have to write this song, meaning the Torah. That the one of the mitzvahs that we said before, one of the tariag mitzvahs is to write a sefer Torah. So therefore, not only is it a king who has to write an additional sefer Torah. So if his father was a king, left him a Sefer Torah, he has to write another one anyway. Every person, even though the father left him a Sefer Torah, you still need to write your own Sefer Torah.
What is considered writing?
What?
What would undergo writing?
What do you mean?
One letter is considered?
We said before, where were you? In the back.
No, for a king also, only one letter he writes.
No, the king has to write all Sefer Torah. He doesn't have to write it. It has to be written for him. The king doesn't have to be a Sefer.
Oh, okay.
No, it means you have to write him.
But even we do one letter, that's considered writing.
In a Sefer Torah, not for a king.
For a king or for us?
No, for us.
Yeah, for us.
For us, if it's a Sefer Torah of a Tzibur.
Aren't all Sefer Torahs of a Tzibur?
No.
You would want to say to us from themselves.
Sure. Most people, when they donate a Sefer Torah to a shul, they don't donate it to the shul. They keep the Sefer Torah, they let them use it.
So how come the shul refuses to give it back to
them? They can't.
They did.
Why do shuls take down machitzah and have microphones and the why? I mean, come on. Why? There are a lot of dentators about it.
Are we allowed to?
Unless if the person gave it over. And when he gave it, he said, I'm giving it to the shul. But most times they tell you right away, I'm not giving it to the shul, I'm lending it to the shul.
But they can always
take
it back.
So that's not a Sefer Torah.
No, then it's a personal. But if you're right, we have one Sefer Torah, it's a communal Sefer Torah.
Yeah, right? It's a personal.
But that's a, there wasn't... people donated money, but everybody participated. So that's the din of a communal Sefer Torah. The Rebbe said there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos. Shnayim Shasuf, two people do a malach on Shabbos to potter. Right? What happens though if it's a malacha that it takes two people to do? Then they're both chayiv. In other words, if two people carry out this gemara, because one person is able to do it, and two people carry it out, it's not chayiv min ha-Torah. It's midrabanan osim. It's not chayiv min ha-Torah, right? What happens if it's a big, heavy thing that you can't carry out yourself, and two people do it, so then they're both chayiv, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, zeh yochol v'zeh yochol. If each one could do it individually, and two people do it, they're potter. Zeh eina yochol v'zeh eina yochol. This one can't, and this one can't. So then they're chayiv. Okay? So the Rebbe said, same thing as in the Sefer. The Rebbe said about learning Shas, when they divide Shas Yitzchak Kislev, the Chassidim take a Masechta. So the Rebbe said, based on that Gemara, because it's not shaykh for everybody to learn Shas a whole year, so Zayin Yochel v'Zayin Yochel. So when everybody does it together, it's like everybody learned the whole Shas. And the same thing with a Sefer Torah. Not every person has the means. Sefer Torah is very expensive. Not everybody has the means to write a Sefer Torah. So Zayin Yochel v'Zayin Yochel. So the din Hilchos Shabbos is Yechayiv, meaning it's like you did the whole melacha, like you did the whole melacha yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be chayiv. So therefore, it's the same thing. So that's only in a communal Sefer Torah where everybody is writing. But if one person commissions the Sefer Torah and he writes it himself, I mean, it doesn't mean him. He pays for it, then it's not.